ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Brought to you by Zadok Jewelers, KFNC and KFNC HD2, Mont Bellevue, Houston. With the purple umbrella and a 50-cent hand. You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, as always, a big thank you to John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. We're going to get back to Federico DeMichelis of Toto Dynamo in a second. But first, I want you to listen to this something. And Federico, I want you to listen to this too, because the passion here is pretty incredible. This is my great friend, Sebastian Abraham. He has a Patagonia restaurant out on I-10. Wonderful Argentine steakhouse. Great friend of mine. I've eaten there a bunch. We've done some soccer things there as well. Just a highly passionate guy. He's also Argentine. Here's his take. This is on his take as to why Maradona is better than Lionel Messi.
Maradona was the real number 10 because he was the captain, you know, and the guy here running all the team. You know, he have a communication inside in the field with everybody. The guy, he push everybody. Versus Lionel Messi is a great soccer player, but the big problem is when we have something bad time, the guy is like a close, his eyes, his ear, and it's just himself. And you don't see a captain like a Maradona. Let's go. Let's go with Batistuta. Let's go with Caniccia. Let's go with all these great players. You know, with Ruggeri, the guy in the back. Everybody push. You know, that's when that's the difference. It was unbelievable, the connection with the other player and everything. The passion, the love, and the fighting. You know, see Leo Messi.
Well, that's a push towards the leadership, the fight, the spirit, how Maradona lifted his teammates. And that's something that resonates with Argentines, right? I mean, that's a pretty fair statement, don't you think, Federico, from Sebastian Abraham of Patagonia?
I agree with him. I frankly never really understood the comparison between Messi and Maradona, you know, because like he says, you know, Messi is an extraordinary football player, absolutely extraordinary, one of a kind, no doubt about it, you know. But Maradona is much more than that, much more than that. I mean, you can't even, start to compare one or the other. You know, one is a legend, absolutely epic, on the field and off the field as well. And Messi, he is, you know, it's also a different, you know, in times, you know, he's a modern player. He just plays the sport, you know, goes back home, and that's the end of the story. It was different back then, but Maradona has qualities of, you know, true leader qualities.
Yeah, listen, for we are not bagging on Lionel Messi. There's no way we're doing that. But from the leadership perspective, yes, you can see the difference. I sometimes think Lionel Messi is pushed into a leadership role, and it's almost a hesitant one, but it's one that he has to accept because he is one of the greatest players in the world.
Absolutely, yeah, I agree. I agree with you. Yeah. And you know, you can't ask him to, you know, to be at the level of Maradona. You know, he is extraordinary. It's just not in the same league. You know, it's different kind of people. I think one is a legend. One is a national hero, you know, and the other one is an extraordinary football player.
PatagoniaGrillHouston.com. That's Sebastian's restaurant. It's a wonderful place. You go over there, they got all the different cuts of meats. They've got tomahawk pork chops, short ribs, Angus ribeyes, lamb shanks. They've got the churrasco. It's just a wonderful place. Salmon, a lot of great red wines there as well. So get over there, say hello to Sebastian, tell him you heard about it on Soccer Matters. And this is just a good friend of mine trying to help him out, because both him and Danny, small businesses, trying to keep their restaurants afloat. Anything we can do to help them, we will. All right, let's quickly go here. I'm going to read the roster here real quick, and then Federico, I'm going to ask for you to give us some input on anything that jumps out. So the options were exercised on Darwin Serén, Fuenmayor, Junqua, Lemoyne, Lundquist, McHugh, Nelson, Palomino, Vera. Lassiter was bought from Alajuelense in Costa Rica. Jose Bezama accepted a restructured contract. Options declined on seven players. Now, remember, doesn't mean they're not going to be back. Okay, it means they could be back. They could restructure their contracts, try to get the players to come back for less. Kyle Adams, Victor Cabrera, Cody Cropper, Tomas Martinez, Ronaldo Pena, Michael Salazar, Wilfried Zahibo. Some of them will be gone, though. There's no question about that. Out of contract, Minor Figueroa, Boniek Garcia, Nico Hansen. Now, there's apparently been an offer made to Nico Hansen. So that's 22 players under contract, two goalkeepers, eight defenders, five midfielders, and seven forwards. If they were to keep Figueroa, Garcia, and Hansen, you're up to 25. That's another five roster spots for you. What jumps out to you, Federico?
To me, the big surprise here was Victor Cabrera not coming back. It's my understanding that it wasn't a soccer decision. There was more of a contract kind of a problem there. But still, I mean, for me, he was one of the standouts of the season, especially knowing that the center backs are something that, you know, they will need to solve for this season coming up. So that was the big surprise for me. The rest, I don't think we have any big surprises there. I don't know how you felt about it, Glenn.
Yeah, you know, Kiki Struan is coming back. Victor Cabrera won that position from him. But unless you know something I don't know, it doesn't mean they can't renegotiate and re-sign Victor Cabrera. Do you know something different that says he's definitely gone?
No. Okay. Nothing that's completely definite, but yes, that there is
But it was a bit of a surprise because, yes, I understand what you're saying, because he played well at the end of the year. Tab Ramos liked the fact that he could build the game out of the back. Now, if he were to go, that means, you know, for me, I think the biggest thing is there's a youth movement here. He's made it very clear he wants the team to get more athletic. He wants an additional signing on all the lines of the team. For me, the Dynamo need a defining center back. They need a defining central midfielder that raises the bar there, that's athletic, that can cover ground. But they need two focal points, one at the back central and one in midfield, to me. And I think that's going to improve a lot of things. Now, that's a big ask, getting the right guy. They tried with Zahibo. I don't know if he's going to be coming back. He got injured. He was a disappointment. You know, Ronaldo Pena. Now, here's a guy that, you know, was an under-20 finalist with Venezuela. Came in highly touted. His potential never materialized. He ended up getting injured. But then you say to yourself, you know, how much responsibility was on Pena and how much was on the Dynamo over the years in not being able to develop him and accelerate him? Now, you know, he's not a wide midfielder. They tried him there. I don't know what your thoughts are on that.
No, I agree. And, you know, he had not only the injury, but then, you know, that unfortunate tweet that he was, you know, sort of punished for. And there was a lot of talk about that as well. But, you know, I think he also didn't have the chance. Half his responsibility, half maybe, you know, just the season that we had that wasn't, the most normal. One of the things that I would mention is also the re-signing of Fuenmayor, which I think it's a good thing, thinking about the future and those, you know, center back positions that are something that they will really have to think about. It's interesting because Fuenmayor, you know, this season he also didn't have a lot of work, but whenever he did come in, he did a good job. You know, he's still developing, and I think the club is they have faith in him.
I'm going to take a differing tack to you on him because he played a lot of games early when he came here, and then he kind of was put in the hinterlands by Wilmer Cabrera. Yeah. He's at a critical phase of his career. He's got to deliver now. He can't be unrealized potential anymore. He's been here a number of years. So it's time for him to grab an opportunity that's staring him in the face, Alejandro Fuenmayor. This team needs stability in the center back position. It needs youth there. He's young. He's got a good frame, can be a target on set pieces, but he's got to grab it. And I hope these players can see the opportunity that they have. You know, they didn't make the playoffs. This is all in the context of not making the playoffs, and we can say whatever we want. It's 1 in 7 years. You better be one of the best players on this team. You better be pushing to be a guy that owns a starting position here, and I think that's what Todd Ramos is working towards. But I think a couple more significant signings can, you know, kind of lift certain areas of this team, and we'll see if that can happen and if the resources will be there for Todd Ramos. I think he's been so refreshing coming in. I just hope he gets what he needs in the future. Where do you think the biggest needs are, and what would you do right now?
No, I agree with you completely. I think you need big names, especially for me in the midfield. Center back position, I think they can manage with what they have. They'll probably bring someone in. They have to, but you do need a midfielder to help out Matias Vera. Sahibo was the solution. It didn't work out. You know, the injury, and then whenever he played, he really didn't do very well. But those two things for me are key. And as well, you know, it's good news. I think they brought Manotas back. He needs a good season after last season, because if not, the number nine position will be up for grabs, and it's too important. You know, they did create situations, you know, but you have to put them in. If not, you know, it's more of the same.
Well, Federico, he may have to become a 9 to 10 goal scorer, not a 15 goal scorer, in a different system. We'll see, but I don't think, without any question, some things are going to have to happen here. We're going to have to take a break here. We've got Andreas Cantor coming up. Very much thank you for coming on, Federico, and continue the good work with Toto Dynamo.
Thank you. Thank you, Glenn, as always. Have a good one.
All right, that's Federico Di Michelis of Toto Dynamo. Very passionate guy, Argentine. You got some great stuff from him on Diego Maradona. Shattered's going to take us to break. We're going to take a quick break here. We're going to come back. Andreas Cantor, Telemundo, the legendary commentator on all things Diego Maradona.
When it comes to sports betting, SportsMapBets.com is the site you need. From weekly betting guides to single game breakdowns of the point spread, money line, over under, and more, SportsMapBets has all the info you need to make the best play. SportsMapBets.com.
Hi guys, I'm Hector Moreno. You're listening to Soccer Matters with Glenn Davis.
That is the goal call of the legendary Andreas Cantor. And Andreas joins us now. Andreas, as an Argentine and somebody that has met Maradona so many times and has interviewed him, what does it mean to the Argentine now upon the passing of Diego Armando Maradona?
I think, Glenn, the world of football lost, obviously, the greatest player to many of all time. But for us Argentinians, we lost more than that. You know, he was a superhero to all Argentinians. Whether, you know, you agreed with him on all the extra football stuff that was very controversial around his life or not, we all remembered him fondly for what he did on the pitch. You have to understand that this was a superhero that was very reachable to the masses. I mean, he even gave his home address for people to go watch him out of the balcony. He was in touch with many, many people that needed his help. He was the voice of the poor. He was a very, like I said, a very accessible world superstar. On top of that, you know, he beat England, I wouldn't say single-handedly, but obviously scoring one of the most controversial goals in World Cup history and the most beautiful goal in World Cup history. And both have a special meaning to Argentines. Why? Because that game was fueled by what had happened 4 years early with the Falkland Island War. Don't get me wrong, it was the stupidest war that all Argentines were sent to, but then England came over and almost just threw Argentina off the map. And then it was like the first goal. I mean, I don't think there is one Argentine that will take pride in the way he scored the goal with his hand. But then it was like some type of revenge for what had happened with England in the Falkland Islands War. And then the second goal, obviously, is like the culmination of his craft. It was just pretty much incredible. So, you know, his death is a great loss for Argentina. And he was already, for Argentinians, he was already a myth. And now, you know, he's a myth, a legend. I mean, you just add on, tack on all the adjectives and all the words that you can or want to Diego's as we remember him now.
We're talking to the legendary commentator, Andreas Cantor, about Diego Maradona. You know, those two goals so indelibly etched in the minds of people and in, as you mentioned, in the history of the World Cup. In some ways, did they kind of reflect his life? On one hand, they're calling him a bit of a cheat and cunning, and on the other hand, it's just the sheer artistic brilliance.
Yeah, I don't think he was a cheat in life. He never used drugs to enhance his performances. It was very, very clear, and he said it many times, and I believe that that was the case, that if he wouldn't have used cocaine for personal use, he would have been a much better player than he was, incredibly. He said that in many, many interviews. And I strongly believe that. There was no one instance where he took advantage. I mean, you know, we all know that cocaine doesn't enhance any athlete's performance, to the contrary. And then in 1994, he got booted out of the World Cup for ephedrine, which you and I probably have taken many
nasal,
times in
nasal
supplements. Yeah. Exactly. You know, we have, I pretty, with all the afferent that I've taken, to clear my sinuses, I probably wouldn't have passed that drug test in 1994 either. So in any case, I think just the second goal illustrates, and it's just, that is, if you have to choose one goal out of all the ones that he has scored or all the plays that he had great plays throughout his career. Obviously, the second goal against England would be it.
Andreas Cantor joining us here, and excited to have him on the program here tonight. This is a great listen here. We're talking about Diego Maradona. Of course, you know Andreas from Telemundo, Football de Primera. Let's just go into how he has been deified. I mean, I've watched all the documentaries. I don't know how a man could live a life like this, honestly, because the amount of pressure, I mean, physically people coming up to him when he walks out of his house and making physical contact. How he has been deified. Is there any accountability for us as humans when it comes to this man's life?
You know, fame comes with a price, I guess, and he was the most famous person in the planet. I have no doubt during his playing days and his best days. In rewatching many interviews that he did, I came upon one from 9 years ago where they asked him, do you remember how many interviews have you given in your life? And he says, no, I cannot. I mean, hundreds of thousands. So they asked him, do you remember when it was the first interview that you did? And he said, at around 13 years old, I'm quoting him, he said, at 13 years old, the press started putting the ice cream cone, as the metaphor for the microphone, in front of my face. And from that day on, I lived every day of my life with cameras and microphones in front of my face everywhere I went. So you can, you know, understand what this man's life or lack of a normal life was when he was in his best playing days or just his playing days. So, you know, I don't know what part the press we all have, but, you know, he was the most thought-after athlete worldwide. I know he, you know, we can talk about Magic, Michael Jordan, them too, you know, but mostly here in the U.S., you have to understand that if you went to every corner of the world, I know it's perhaps, I mean, maybe for people that listen to your show, no, but for other sports enthusiasts, you have to understand that if you went, you know, 30 years ago to any corner of the world and you said Michael Jordan, people perhaps didn't know who he was, but you said Diego Maradona and they started talking, you know, 20 minutes with you about all his goals and his plays and Argentina and Napoli and this and that.
Talking to the great Andreas Cantor, let's go to the footballing side of it now, because, I mean, even in that England quarterfinal, I'm watching that and he's just on another stratosphere than everybody on that field, including Glenn Hoddle of England, who was supposed to be their most technical player. His teammate Jorge Valdano once said, quote, "The football was the toy of his life." Mm-hmm. Is who compares to him when it comes with the football being a part of somebody? That to me, just the way his body is relaxed, even if you just go and juggle a soccer ball, I never saw a guy, maybe Cruyff, maybe Pelé, that just seemed at one with the football.
Yeah, he was something else. I don't think it's good to enter into comparing him to anybody else. He was just, you know, a genius all by himself, as, you know, Pelé was in his time and Johan was in his, and Messi is now. All I have to add, because, you know, we live in a world where kids grew up watching football, soccer games on their cell phones, and they're watching today's VAR soccer, that Maradona played in an era where soccer was very different. You know, they allowed much more physicality in the rules. He was butchered game in, game out. He was hit left and right, and he always had that enormous capacity to get up and just keep playing. Furthermore, he played, you know how today, I mean, I think there is such, I think the FIFA EA games is so popular because it resembles to the kids, it resembles the game they see on TV, you know, very nice manicured pitch, very fast moving ball. The players are even, I mean, I don't know if the electronic game resembles the players or the players resemble the electronic games. Diego played in an era where, you know, the fields of play were not that good and controlling the ball was like almost impossible. Gary Lineker, in remembering his death the other day, said Estadio Azteca in that game against England had patches of grass where you set foot on one patch and then you had to step on the other one and it was so uneven and this was the only guy that could control the ball. And if you see carefully the second goal, you know, the 60-meter dash to the goal, the ball looks like a rabbit. It's not, I mean, even though he had it almost glued to his feet, I mean, if you watch today's, you know, any Champions League game or any game anywhere around the world, the pitches are more playable and it makes it easier for the players to control the football. And that was Maradona. Maradona played in that time, so that is why I think he was just the greatest of all time.
He's Andreas Cantor. He is one of the greatest of all time behind the microphone when it comes to the global game of soccer. You've interviewed him and been around him. You mentioned to me before the interview about 10 times. Tell me something maybe that came out of those meetings with him that the general public might not know about him.
Well, I met him the first time in Los Angeles when he came with a youth national team that was on the way to Japan to win the Youth World Cup. I always tell the story. I was already working for a Grafico magazine, which was like the Sports Illustrated of the time.
Well, you know something? I couldn't read or understand Spanish, but the cover of that magazine was always unbelievable.
Yeah. It was like the soccer Bible to all Latin American journalism and to all Latin American soccer fans. And I had the idea, because I had covered many boxing fights in Vegas. I was 17. I believe I was still in high school, perhaps in my first year at USC, but I can't remember. I would have to look at the calendar. I had the idea of getting him together with Muhammad Ali that lived in LA. I had a contact of him through all the times I went to Vegas to cover fights. And we got to his home because, obviously, of what we just discussed. I picked him up in the hotel. There was lots of press, even though it was Los Angeles in the late 70s. And, you know, he got out of the elevator and boom, they, you know, he couldn't move. And we got to Muhammad Ali's home like 15 minutes late and he was gone. And I missed, you know, talking about the cover. That was going to be the cover of a graphic magazine for sure. And I remember his face. You know, he was 18, I believe. And I was 16 and a half because, you know, he's almost 2 years and 2 months older than I am. And I remember his face. I will never forget. It was, you know, the kid that just lost his favorite toy. And he was, you know, bummed. And then in all the times, I mean, I met him as a youth player. I was fortunate enough to be with him both times he won the Scudetto in Napoli. I was there. I was there in the celebration party. I was there in Argentina, in Mexico, when Argentina won the World Cup. And now, retrospectively, because, you know, you live through things that you don't realize until, you know, you take a look back in life. He was the world's superstar. And he was the most humble human being, even though in the peak of stardom, even though he had put Naples in the map of Italy with his soccer, even though he had won the World Cup away in Mexico for Argentina after scoring, you know, all five goals. I mean, the Belgian goals were awesome. And he was just, all I can tell you from all the encounters I had with him, that he was the most simple, human, relatable human being that there could be.
So that's part one. We're going to come back with more from Andreas Contor. Big thank you again to Advantage BMW Midtown. I've leased, I've driven a BMW for many years from down there. I've leased, I've bought. Advantage BMW Midtown, the customer service off the charts. They'll cover you sales, service, finance. It can be done so easy. Get the 3, a 5, a 7 series Advantage BMW Midtown. Reminder, what a comeback from Manchester United this past weekend. 3-2 over Southampton. 15 minutes. Cavani scoring twice and setting up one goal in the final 16 minutes. Guess what? Tomorrow, Manchester United takes on PSG in the Champions League. It is a revenge game for Edinson Cavani. All right, when we come back, more from the great Andreas Contor as we continue to reflect on the legendary Diego Maradona.
Answer that.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help.
I'm Vlad Kendinovsky, the coach of U.S. Women National Team, and you're listening to Soccer Matters with Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to the final segment of Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5, presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. Big shout out to Advantage BMW Midtown. Get down there, get yourself in an X3, an X5. They just have incredible vehicles. They are the ultimate driving machine. I got an X5. I absolutely love it. Took it on a 23-hour drive to New Jersey. Advantage BMW Midtown. They'll take you through sales, service. It is so easy. All right, part two now of the great commentator of Telemundo and Football de Primera, Andreas Contor.
How long will the nostalgia go on for him? I mean, he's going to live eternally. I mean, that's what Argentines say. The 30, 40 years from now, will people be still talking about the great Diego Maradona?
I believe so. I believe that there will be a reference point like there is always, you know, in every sport about the great athletes of their time. Obviously, there will be always be a reference to Diego. You know, the passing of the torch, I don't know. We will see if, you know, Messi can come up in his last hurrah in Qatar if Argentina makes it and win the World Cup. But undoubtedly, I think things will change once the generation, my generation, this sounds awful what I'm going to say, but once my generation is gone and the generations that live after us will only have the reference of him in the YouTube videos and anything that, I mean, let's say my son, who is 27, you know, he didn't see him play. He was born in 1993. But yet he has, you know, an adoration for him and him being in soccer and in broadcasting as well. He fully understands who he was, but I mean, he can only relate to what he meant through me. So I'm not sure that, you know, he will be able to pass those feelings to his sons, because it's something that, you know, he inherited from me without him being part of it. I was part of Maradona's life in soccer, and I was able to tell him what I saw, what he meant for the game, what he meant for Argentina. And then, you know, there's the support of the YouTube videos that everyone can watch. But then when, you know, my generation is long gone, you know, he will be remembered just simply as the greatest footballer or one of the greatest footballers. But undoubtedly, he has left a mark in the football world.
I take you back to the line between the on-field football, which was utter artistry, brilliance. We've talked about that. We all know that. All we have to do is look. But then you get across that line into the personal life and all that. Is that side of it kind of pushed aside maybe by a lot of Argentines? They don't want to really think about that. They just focus on what he did football-wise and how he put Argentina on the map with the 86 World Cup. And then, of course, as you mentioned, the success at Napoli.
I think what he did for Argentina as our captain, as our greatest player, as our myth and legend, was stronger than whatever he thought, said, and did in his personal life. Not everyone, and I will be the first one to tell you that I probably agree with very little of the things that he did and the way he... you know, he approached different causes that he thought were just, and I wasn't fully a friend of his friends, metaphorically, obviously. I don't know Fidel Castro, and I don't know Maduro. You know what I mean?
Yes.
But at the end, who are we to judge? I mean, you know, this is like the great divide here in our last election. I'm not going to tell you who I voted for, but, you know, we grew up in this country with respect for each other's point of view and political views. And am I going to be less friendly to you because you voted for candidate A and I voted for candidate B? No. I respect your opinion. I don't share it. I seldomly shared many of his latest opinions in life, and I think that is a reflection. I cannot generalize because there were lots of Argentinians very hurt by some of his actions. All I can say is that he was an indomitable lion, really. And all I can say is that if, you know, the people that surrounded him would have really helped him, he would be alive today. But he was like very, very hard to tame. You know, he didn't seek advice. He didn't accept advice. It was tough. So, you know, whatever he did with his personal life as a human being and whatever beliefs he had that were contrary to mine, you know, so be it. They were his. I don't share in them, but you know, I remember Diego, the player, and respect the man for being so strong about his beliefs, whether I like them or not.
He was a problem solver on the soccer field. We know that. He was the indomitable lion you just mentioned. I wonder why that couldn't translate into life when seeking out help for some of the other problems, because it always seems, from what I've read, that he was determined to solve problems himself and not with the help of others.
Right, right. I think it's you know, he said it in one of the many interviews. I mean, nobody knows what it is to be in the life of Diego Maradona. And I cannot imagine, you know, today's, I mean, your listeners have to understand that it was a different era as well in terms of the approach of the world's megastar. I mean, all we have to do is watch the Jordan documentary, you know, the Last Dance. When I think NBA still is even more flex than soccer, where you know, you could go inside the locker room and see the Michael Jordan naked getting out of the shower, and then boom, you throw the microphones at him. I don't know if that happens today. Certainly, it doesn't happen in FIFA, in the World Cups, or in any other game. You cannot go inside. I mean, here in the MLS, I think you can, but in the rest of the world, you can't go inside the locker room. Superstars. Are much more protected. And Diego wasn't. Diego, like, you know, he said that in that interview, since he was 13 or 14, he had press all around him. And he couldn't go out, you know, for a walk in Buenos Aires, in Barcelona, in Naples. The only place where he could probably go out for a walk without, you know, being swamped was here in the U.S., where he came, you know, at a very early age and then never returned. So I don't know what, you know, type of life that is. So I think he, you know, he wanted to manage it, his life, the way he thought, you know, he could manage it. And unfortunately, he did not listen to the people that wanted good for him and that wanted him to do things that he didn't want to do. And like I said, you know, he was very, very hard to tame and did things his own way.
Andreas, all I can say is thank you very much for coming on. I know these are a lot of personal moments for you and Argentines now, and of course the world of soccer. To all of us, I think we feel very kind of gray and dark now that we've lost such an icon that we have enjoyed watching play this game in a way that we've never seen before. Thank you very much for coming on. I also want to congratulate you, because I want my listeners to know that you're going to come back on. We're going to talk broadcasting and your career more in depth. But I want to congratulate you for the Colin Jose Award, which is given here in the United States to people that have just committed so much to journalism and sport and what you've done for the sport of soccer in this country. I think you have to understand it's more than just calling games. You've helped grow the game in this country. And I think a lot of people like myself on the outside obviously recognize that.
Thank you, Glenn. You're very generous. I mean, it got me off guard, and they surprised me with the announcement on air, just to be in the National Hall of Fame in this country that I love so much, and after so many years of fighting and still fighting to position the game in the place it deserves, it's just an absolute honor, and thank you for your kind words. And anytime you want to talk about anything in the world of soccer, you have a friend.
Comes right back at you, Andreas. Thank you so much for coming on tonight. We appreciate it immensely, and I know my listeners enjoyed that interview immensely also. Well, that does it for Soccer Matters here tonight. A big thank you to some of our sponsors, Danish Inspirations Contemporary Furniture, NB Elite Realty, Hugh O'Connor's Pub, and Advantage BMW, and of course, our presenting sponsor, John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. Hit me up on Twitter, Glenn Davis Sock, Facebook Soccer Matters. Get over to the website, Glenn Davis Soccer. .com. On behalf of our producer extraordinaire, Aaron Raybould, also helping produce Victor Ariza, I'm Glenn Davis. Get the podcast at podcastarena.com, Spotify, also on iTunes, and get it over at my website, glenndavissoccer.com. Until next Tuesday at 7 o'clock Central, on behalf of the firm, I'm Glenn Davis. Yeah.
ESPN 97.5.